This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Beloved brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, night number 3 of the Taraweeh, 10% of it done. And inshaAllah, as tomorrow is work, you know, it will be a bit more difficult, a bit tougher. All of this increases in our reward, increases in our success, inshaAllah. And we said only these few weeks left, few couple of weeks between us and Jannah, and whatever we have in ourselves to do the best we can this Ramadan. Ameen. We continue with Al-Tafsir. And we spoke yesterday about the Isti'adha, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, and Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And even though this is the Tafsir of Juz Amma, we're going to talk today about the most powerful and greatest surah that Allah has ever revealed to mankind. The Prophet ﷺ says, do you want to know which chapter has there is no parallel or equal to it in the Torah, in the Injil, in the Zabur, and even in the Quran? Really, it is Al-Fatiha, the Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the greatest chapter, the greatest revelation Allah has given to mankind, is Surah Al-Fatiha. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي, that we have sent to you the 7 repeated verses, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ, and the Qur'an, as if though Surah Fatiha is revealed on its own. So therefore Surah Fatiha, one of its names, is the 7 oft repeated verses. And this shows you the miraculous nature of the Qur'an and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge of the future. When the Prophet ﷺ received this verse, Islam was but a small group of people, maybe 40 people that were Muslims. And Allah said, I'm giving you these 7 verses that will forever be repeated over and over. And we know that right now, somewhere in the world, it's Maghrib time, yes? Somewhere in the world, it's Fajr, sun is rising. Somewhere in the world, it's Asr. And there's a group of Muslims making Salah, and they are reciting Surah Fatiha at this moment. That Surah Fatiha is always being recited by insan on this dunya, let alone the malaika and the other creations that recite this great surah. Of the virtues of the surah, of the names of the surah, is that it's called Ummul Kitab. Meaning the mother or the foundation or the central figure of the entire Quran and the revelation. Some mufassireen have gone so far as saying the entire Quran is contained in Surah Fatiha and the rest of it is just tafsir of Surah Fatiha. And that's why it doesn't belong to any juz. The Prophet ﷺ mentions in the hadith in Muslim that he was having a conversation with Jibreel. When Jibreel looked up and he said he heard a cracking sound. And Jibreel said that cracking sound is a door that was locked and shut for all the ages and generations. It was like a treasure box that was kept closed, and all of a sudden now it was opened. And of what came out of that treasure box was Surah Al-Fatiha and the ending verses of Surah Al-Baqarah that no other Nabi received, and no Ummah was given other than this Ummah. It's also mentioned that Surah Fatiha was revealed a number of times to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of which is when he went on Mi'raj at the foot of the Arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There were treasures around the throne of Allah, and one of them was Surah Al-Fatiha that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received once again. This great surah, before we go into its tafsir, the other virtues of it is that it is a pillar of salah, meaning your salah is not accepted if you don't recite Surah Al-Fatiha. If you miss Surah Al-Fatiha, you need to go all the way back and your salah is incomplete without it. That Surah Al-Fatiha, and we discuss jinn and magic and difficulty in one's life, the greatest remedy for spiritual illness is Surah Al-Fatiha. When they perform ruqya, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha on the afflicted person because it is one of those great verses that shaitan flees from. It cures diseases, and the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba would recite Surah Al-Fatiha when they are injured and when they are harmed, and it is also increases your acceptance in dua. That if you incorporate Al-Fatiha in your dua, it helps to increase the acceptance of whatever you are, whichever you are asking for. And in fact, Surah Al-Fatiha is a dua. That's why we say Ameen at the end, because it is in fact a dua. And it is a conversation that you are having with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every one of us, when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, it is a conversation we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah says, this is a hadith that goes back to Allah, Allah the Glorious and the Exalted Himself said, I have divided salah between me and my servant equally, and my servant shall get what he's asked for. When Allah says salah, yeah, he doesn't mean the salah we are making salah, he means Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha is so powerful, Allah in fact calls Surah Al-Fatiha salah. I have divided Surah Fatiha, but he says salah in half, meaning like 90% of salah is that Surah Al-Fatiha. It's amazing. Like you have, like Arafah is Hajj, Al-Hajj wa Arafah, that Hajj is Arafah. Salah is Surah Al-Fatiha. That's how great the surah is. So Allah says that when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, it's a conversation where I have given it 50-50. Half for me and half for my servant. So when he says, so Allah says, once my servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now we pause here. We said yesterday there are two opinions as to the Basmala, whether Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is a verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. We said we know Surah Fatiha has 7 verses. And Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, their opinion was that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is verse number 1. And Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Walad Dallin, Sirat Alladhina An'amta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Walad Dallin is one verse. The Hanafis and Malikis disagree. So we understood Imam Shafi'i's reasoning, because if you have to label the verses, you won't get to 7 without Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So that's his evidence. The Hanafi evidence is this hadith, that Allah says, I have split Surah Fatiha in half. So when he says Alhamdu, meaning you start with Alhamdu, not Bismillah. You understand the evidence of the Hanafis and the Malikis. And Allahu A'lam, all four, there's no issue here. Everyone agrees that when you recite Salah, you recite it either loud or soft. That Surah Fatiha was preceded with the Basmala, either as a verse or it is an introduction to Surah Fatiha. You recite it either loud or soft, this is not a problem. But this is the evidence of the Hanafis that say the Basmala is not part, is not a verse of Surah Fatiha, because Allah says He split it in half. So when you start with Alhamdu, not Bismillah. You understand the evidence of Abu Hanifa here, Rahimullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when He says, when you and I say in our salah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise and thanks is to the Rabb, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Cherisher, the Nourisher of the universe, of all of creation. Allah responds, my servant has praised me. And when you say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most beneficent, the most merciful, the most compassionate, the most kind, we spoke about Rahman and Rahim, the one who is merciful. So look, Allah says, I am the Lord of the universe, and I control this universe with Rahmah and mercy. That's who I am. When you say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Allah then says, my servant has exalted me, has praised me, has, you know, exalted me. This is what my servant has done for me. And then when he says, when you and I say, Maliki Yawmiddin, the King, the Master, the Lord of the Day of Judgment, Allah says, my servant has glorified me. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specify His kingship and His mastery on the Day of Judgment, on Qiyamah? Why? This will be the only time in history where all the kings, King Faisal, King Salman, Queen Elizabeth, all the kings, the King of the Zulus, whoever they are, they will all be on one day gathered. And then there will only be one king, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, on that day, when everything is there in front of me, and all of creation is there, I am the king and it belongs to me. Another qira'ah says, Maliki Yawmiddin, meaning the sovereign, the owner of everything. So when you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah says, my servant has praised me and exalted me and glorified me. Then when we say, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Allah says, this is between me and my servant, and my servant shall have what he has requested. This is the middle. Half-half. And this ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, this is in actual fact the essence of our deen. I said the theme of our religion is Tawheed. لا إله إلا الله. You alone, Allah, has the right to be worshipped. So we say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Look at the verses before and this verse. What do you find different to this verse? You've been reciting this all your life. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises to Allah, the Lord of the universe, the Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most kind, the Master and the King of the Day of Judgment. Iyaka na'budu, you alone do we worship and you alone do we depend. What do you find, what's happened to those verses? There's something different happening. The tense went from third person to second person. We said, Allah is the King, Allah is the Lord, Allah is the Master, to you we worship. You understand? We jumped from a third person to a direct response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say this every day, that we seldomly understand, we are seldomly look that, to affirm this relationship between us and Allah. Meaning all that the first three verses is, you're praising me, you're glorifying me, so what does that imply? It implies, Ya Allah, you alone have the right to be worshipped. Also for our brothers who know a little bit of Arabic, and even in English, if you say, you I worship, or I worship you, what's easier, what's more normal? The object is usually after the verb. I worship you, not you I worship, right? It's easier, and even in Arabic, it's na'buduka, I worship you. You guys with me? Right? Muhammad hit Salih. Not Salih was hit, or Salih is hit by Muhammad. Usually the object is after the verb. In this verse, and this is deliberate, Allah is deliberately putting Himself before the worship. Iyaka, you do I worship, or do you do we worship, and you do we put our dependency on, our trust, isti'ana, our trust. Why? In Arabic language, when you bring the object before the verb, and this is some grammatical rules, it shows what we call exclusivity, meaning the entire verb goes to that object alone. So we could say, oh Allah, we worship you, but it could mean we also worship someone else. But when you say, I worship Allah, it could mean I worship Allah and someone else. But when you say, oh Allah, I worship you, then you've brought Allah before the verb Iyaka. Now it means you alone do we worship. You understand? This slight change. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Also, the focus is Allah. Allah comes first, and then our worship after that. Also, even if you're standing alone in salah, you don't say, you alone I worship, and you alone I depend on. You still say we. Why? Why is it plural? Yes, it's the verse. It shows that this is something collective. And our ibadah, and you'll find something amazing about Islam. This religion, part of it is not that it's just me and my worship of Allah, that I recite my Quran and I fast alone. It's about community. Even Ramadan, we fast all together throughout the world. We make Hajj all together on one day and one date. We make Salah in Jama'ah. Zakah is a relationship between the rich and the poor. So Allah is affirming that our ibadah is to Allah, but we do it collectively. And that's why it's so beautiful that part of our deen is a collective worship, not isolated and alone. Allah doesn't want us to sit in a cave and alone we worship Allah. No, we worship Allah collectively. So we say, oh Allah, we worship you alone and we depend on you and seek assistance from you alone. So then we ask, now Allah is saying that half is for me, now the other half is for us. So what do we ask of Allah? Now it's what we ask. And we ask Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. Tomorrow inshallah we'll discuss something about guidance. We'll find out that guidance is one of those gifts and blessings which only Allah can give you. And only Allah can increase or decrease. No amount of knowledge or wealth or who you are can increase you in guidance. Oh, only Allah. It is the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing on you know that you could receive is guidance. You could be wealthy and healthy and have kids. But if you don't have guidance, you've lost out. And similarly, someone with nothing but guidance, then he's successful. So the greatest thing you could have is guidance. And therefore, we ask Allah for one thing every single day. Oh Allah, guide us, guide our actions, our thoughts, our iman, guide our hearts. Every time we go off the path, guide us to the straight path. The path that will lead to, not only Jannah, but will lead to Allah. The path of those whom Allah is pleased with. So who are the people that Allah is pleased with? And Allah mentions this tafsir of this ayah in the other part of the Quran. مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَشُهَدَى وَالصَّالِحِينَ. That the people Allah is pleased with, they are the Anbiya, the Prophets, and the Siddiqs, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and the Shuhada, and the Martyrs, and the Salihin, and the good doers. So Allah, let us be of one of those categories. We can't be Anbiya, but yes, we could be Siddiqs, and we could be Shuhada, and at the very least, Ya Allah, let us be good people. غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And let us not be of those who incur your anger, وَرَضَّالِينَ, and those who have gone astray. So who are the people that incur Allah's anger and who are those who have gone astray? The Prophet, the Sahaba asked Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, in Tirmidhi, he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who have earned the anger of Allah, who are they and who are those who have gone astray? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who earn the anger of Allah. Firstly, can we ascribe anger to Allah? Can we say Allah gets angry? Is it befitting of Allah? What do you think? Some say yes, some say no. And really, this is a very in-depth scholarly debate. Anger, is anger a negative quality always? Or is at some point in time, is it good to be angry? Or do we say it's always a negative quality? If you see what's happening in Syria, and it doesn't make you angry, there's something wrong with you. If you see children and women being abused, like we see in the news, and you don't get angry, it's something wrong. So the many of the scholars have interpreted this literally and said Allah has majestic anger, which is part of His godliness, and it is only applied to a certain group of people, and it's only a specific and limited quality. Allah is always merciful, but only sometimes He has anger. Some have said, instead of anger, those will incur the punishment of Allah. Either interpretation, we said this goes back to a deep scholarly debate. Nonetheless, there are groups of people who have earned the anger and the punishment of Allah. And the Prophet said, this refers to the Yahud, not all the Jews, as Allah says, Laysu Sawa, not all of them, but the Jews and those who emulate them, those who have knowledge and were given guidance. They got the guidance that they asked, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمُ. Allah gave it to them, and they still turned away from the straight path. This brings about Allah's anger. وَلَضَّالِينَ. This is the group of people that acted without any guidance, that they were sincere in their actions, and they acted without knowledge and guidance, and the likes that the Prophet said, this is like the Nasara, not all of them, but the original group that changed the Torah, that changed the Injil from what it was to what it is today, that they acted sincerely but without knowledge. So we find that these three groups really comes down to knowledge. That you cannot acquire guidance except through dua, but the only way that helps you get to guidance is knowledge. That you attain knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, then you are misguided. And if you attain knowledge and you don't act on it, then you are of those who earn Allah's anger. And the only way to save yourself is to learn, to read, ikra, to acquire knowledge, and then to be steadfast on what Allah has taught you. And therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. O Allah, guide us every single day. Guide us to live as we should live. We know the haqq. Allah has given us the haqq. May Allah grant us to continue to be steadfast, to worship Him and obey Him, and to be on the sirat al-mustaqim, the sirat that will ultimately lead not to Jannah, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. InshaAllah, tomorrow we'll begin Juz Amma, the tafsir of Surah Al-Shams, inshaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi salamun wa salim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.